Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
So you had a couple of productive plays on the screen game.
You know, there are a lot of people involved with the screen. It's a deceptive play. There's some acting in it. Quarterback, it's the line, it's the receivers.
You can barbecue it, ball it, brawl it.
There are various wide receiver screens.
Pan fry, deep fry, stir fry.
Let everybody handling their assignment and their responsibility better than the guys on the other side of the ball.
That's about it.
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
With Faye being out, would that put any more pressure on you and a wreck you perform?
I'm making $32 million. I've got enough pressure on me.
You really can't handle the fact that he's more like you than you're willing to admit.
Why not that? Why not that?
Case dismissed! $150.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back down here at Foxborough. It's Patriots Monday. The coach will be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. You guys see Adrian Peterson's got another job?
I saw that. Was he a Cardinal?
Signed with the Washington
Redskins. Oh, he's
Redskins.
A Redskin.
Yeah.
Oh, Geist.
See,
Geist kid
you
got
and he
hurt.
Have something in common.
What we took our one of our last stints at a...
think this is his last stint?
I think he's done. Yeah. One-year deal.
He's going to have one of those whipping rooms in his workplace.
Oh, yeah,
it's
hard. You know what it is? He takes one of those little pods that you do, you use at your house, that you store stuff in.
Yeah.
And, like, the U-Haul comes and picks it up. So you just bring that with you, and then that's your whipping room, right? It's nice and dark. You know, you put a lot of leaves in there, some branches. You have a bunch of different, you know, devices hanging from the wall.
Why are the Redskins giving him an opportunity? It doesn't seem like the greatest market for him based on his history. And let's face it.
Is it like a... anti-whipping section?
Well, I think it's an anti-whipping town. They're known as
anti-whippers. Yeah. They care about kids down there.
And Footloose was no dancing. Washington is anti-whipping.
He was bad last year. It's not like he's got game left, does he?
Take a look at him. They lost that kid Geist like you were talking about. Yeah. You know, they lost him, so they need a running back.
But what is he? Is he Decker-esque? I mean, is that what we're looking at? Like, you know, as far as
well,
like,
you could
you
argue.
Bring him in this
you could argue. This is where the progressives would argue this point and say, "Well, wait a minute. We're keeping guys off the field. We're not allowing the teams are not picking guys up because of the way they treat the anthem or things that they're saying." And yet, this guy who's lost his game. It's not like Adrian Peterson from 5 years ago. He's lost his game. And a team is going to give him another opportunity?
I mean, you act like that's such a big deal.
I think it is. I think it surprises me a little bit.
It's your typical veteran, break glass in case of emergency.
Or even take a look.
Who was the kid from the guy from St. Louis that ended up coming here?
Floyd.
No, not Floyd. The other running back. Big back. Remember what I'm talking about? He was here for like
Steven Jackson.
Steven Jackson. Same situation.
Yeah, he doesn't have the baggage.
Yeah, but I mean, so his baggage
Glenn's
is
point,
2 years
it's,
old.
It's more about baggage with Adrian Peterson. It's sort of like Ray Rice. We always felt like if Ray Rice was in his prime, he probably would have gotten another job, right? But because he wasn't in his prime anymore and the baggage around him, nobody's going to take a shot. So you're a little surprised with Adrian Peterson, but other guys did give him a shot.
So if Adrian Peterson, 5 years ago, Lou, I'd sit there and say, all they care about is getting a good football player out on the field. But it isn't. The guy may be washed up.
Well, the worst part is that New Orleans gave him a chance, right? And then he just didn't look like the same guy either. So now you've got film on him.
Yeah. Well, he didn't like his role. Remember, so when he was with New Orleans, it was
they were better without him.
Well, then they had that young kid, Kamara, who was just blowing it up.
All they needed was Ingram and Kamara.
Yeah. And he really didn't play much in the first few weeks, right?
Kamara was in.
Kamara and Ingram became this 1-2 punch. Right. So it was like, what do we need Adrian Peterson for? Plus, he's bitching about not getting the ball.
He went out to Arizona, right? He went out to Arizona. He wasn't anything big there either. So they just, like you said, it's not. It's sort of like to see if he's got anything left. It's kind of like your version of Decker.
I think there's a legitimate gripe here that this is a guy who's got a really checkered past here, treated the way he treated his kids. And we're sitting here, and other guys are not getting signed, not getting an opportunity right now. And this guy is.
I'm not kidding. We're not going to get into the difference between the two and why he did and why he didn't. But he's already, as a... none of the other players got a second chance. Like, so Hardy got a second chance. I mean, that was insane what happened with
Jerry
him.
Jerry Jones.
I mean, it was that was insane, honestly. So
it was Jerry Jones giving him that that opportunity. What's your problem?
No, what's
you got
wrong?
A lot of problems. He's lost his headphones and everything else. Christian, I don't know.
Christian's an absolute mess. He's walking into this right now.
Well, the coach will come in. The coach will come in and straighten you out. Yeah. But you lost your headphones. You broke his headphone right on the air. All right, it's time for our weekly get-together with the coach, Bill Belichick, being brought to you by Mass General Hospital Cancer Center, Everyday Amazing by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health, and McFarland Energy, also by Mercedes-Benz pre-owned sales event. How you doing, Bill?
Great, Glenn.
Everything good?
Yeah, Luke, good. Christian, good? How's it going?
Coach.
Christian's got some issues, but that's a separate
thing. Well, Mike issues, but he's all right.
All right, you're two down in the preseason. You got two more to go. How would you compare this from previous years? Where are you? Do you have in your mind an idea of where you are in trying to develop this team compared to where you've been in the past?
Yeah, every year is different, so let's take it one
is this
day
better
at a time.
Or, is this ahead of time or behind schedule, do you think?
Yeah, again, I don't know if there is a schedule. I think every team has its own schedule. Some things, we've done better than in the past. Other things, not as well. I mean, this team is this team, and we'll have to figure out what we can do and how quickly we can do it, how well we can do it, maybe some things we move on from.
You know, one of the things that stood out, and I think you talked about it after the game, and I think the word you used was energy for the defense as far as how many sacks they got, how aggressive they were, especially the guys on the edge, like, you know, Claiborne, Wise, Rivers, those guys just really, Claiborne especially, looked like he just had a motor on him that wouldn't stop. And there wasn't a lot of blitz, at least it didn't seem like it was, just those guys winning one-on-one battles. How important is that, like, you know, for your defense as opposed to, you know, what you guys can do if you know that those guys can get to the quarterback on their own without any help?
Yeah, well, I thought that our team had good energy for the game, and that started with our first defensive series, and then our offense took the ball down and drove down and scored, unlike last week where we basically couldn't make a first down in the first half and gave up 17 points. So it was just a much better effort overall. Guys, you know, played with good energy. They executed well. We made some plays early in the game, got ahead, played from ahead, and that's always a good place to play from, especially when you're a pass rusher.
You know, you got some different personalities. Mentioned Claiborne, but is it for, do you look at it now and say some of these guys year two or Rivers fairly getting a first look and say we now have those type of players to maybe go after a quarterback maybe more than we have in the past?
Yeah, well, we'll see. We got a long way to go, and we'll see what happens when the real bullets start flying. But we'll keep working, and you know we've got a lot of young players at that position on the defensive line, defensive end. They're competing well. They're making progress. They're getting better all the time. So we'll see where it goes. I don't know.
How much – it seemed like Rivers got a lot bigger. I mean, maybe because he was in the weight room a lot. Was it – did you notice a difference in just his physical size?
He's put on a little bit. I wouldn't say he's a lot bigger. But he's – you know, he's had a good – he had really had two off-season programs. One when he was rehabbing his knee, and then a second one when the off-season program started in April. So – he was able to build. He works very hard. He's able to rehab his knee and also build his upper body strength and just overall physical development. He's a young guy, and he's gonna fill out and grow a little bit. But he works hard, and he's got something to show for it.
You always talk about how important game planning is from week to week. What do you learn when there's no game planning during the preseason, especially with young players, have a certain skill set, can do a certain thing? What can you learn about them, and how different is it when we get to game one and you're game planning against the Houston offense?
Well, it's a lot different, but fundamentals are fundamentals, and that's really what we're working on now, Glenn, is our fundamentals, our techniques, and whatever defense we're in, whatever play we call, we'll rely on those fundamentals for execution. So if we have good fundamentals, we'll have good execution. If we don't, then you can X and O it all you want, but without good fundamentals, you're probably not going to have a lot of good plays. So this is a good chance to work on them against Washington, Philadelphia, and now Carolina has a little different style of play. Obviously different players, so we'll see different matchups, and that'll give our players experience to build that, our overall confidence in our execution of techniques and fundamentals against different players, not just our guys that we see day after day in practice, but against real competition.
These guys were talking about your defense and how aggressive it was. Do you alter during preseason or even during the season itself schemes, certain things you want to do defensively because you suddenly discover skill set of a specific player or players that change up the way you can play?
Yeah, we do that in all three phases of the game. If there's a player that we feel like is a mismatch player that we can gain an advantage with, then we'll have some way to be able to work through that, depending on who the player is and so forth, what we're actually talking about. But, yeah, sure, we try to take advantage of our mismatch strengths. Absolutely, that's part of it. That's not part of these games,
right.
But it's certainly part of game planning.
So you've always had these running backs great out of the backfield catching balls. And I'm just James White. I mean, Kevin Falk is the guy that everybody sort of judges it on. But I'm curious, where and Shane Vereen was another one. Where do you put James White in all this? Because it always seems like he's there coming up big in big moments.
Yeah, all three of those players were really good. And so have our slot receivers. Slot receivers have been very good, too. We've had, of course, Troy and then Wes and Danny and Julian. So we've had a lot of good players at those two positions. And that's a good place to have good players in the passing game for our quarterback. Tom really knows how to use them, and he does a great job of getting those matchups, as well as the tight end and the outside guys. But those two positions, no matter who's played there, really over the last 19 years, they've all been pretty good. So that's been a good thing. James is right there. He does a great job. Each one of them is a little bit different, but they've all been very productive.
We read a report talking about the running back in the NFL, and I think the first priority said something about pass blocking, and then it went to catching. Is that something we look at that third down back where the game is going, passing a lot? Is that the number one thing for your running back, be able to pass block, be able to be out in the field?
If he's in the game on passing situations, it is, yeah. If he's in the game in running situations, then not as much, but if it's passing situations. Now, there's some teams that don't ask their backs to pass protect a lot. They use some Morris receivers and get them out into the pattern. That creates some problems with protection, but it allows those players to not have to pass block. So it just depends on the scheme that you're using. We do both, so we've always done both, so I think there's a place for it.
Coach, there's the helmet rule getting a lot of attention from former players, current players, and Devin McCourty was on last week with Dale and Keith, and he basically just, they were asking him, how does he handle it? And he pretty much said, I just kind of play it how the refs are calling it that game. So if one ref's calling it and he's aggressive calling it, then they change it. Maybe they're a little bit more careful as opposed to maybe someone who's not as, flag happy. Is that as simple as it is as far as your advice to those defensive players on how to attack this rule?
Well, I can't speak for any individual player, and as Christian, every play is different, every situation is different, and you only have a split second to react on the field, and that's why NFL players are NFL players. I would just say, from my standpoint, it's not a change for us, not a change for our coaching staff. We've never taught that. We've never taught tackling with the crown of our helmet, putting our head down, and leading our body forward in that type of position. I don't think fundamentally that's a good position to be in. It's not effective, and there's a lot of things that can go wrong besides getting hurt, and that's an important one. So we've always tackled and blocked with our head up and our eyes open, our head back, so we can see what we hit, and that's the only way I've ever coached it. And if we do it that way, then we'll be within the rules. So that's what we try to teach. There's again, a lot of bang-bang plays where you have to react quickly and try to make a tackle or make a block or get an extra yard, and sometimes instinctively a player will put his head down. I think there's certainly more of an awareness of that now because of the way it's being called, but fundamentally, we've never taught that in any technique, so that's not a big change for us.
Do you guys still do the whole red line offense on one side, defense on their side, tackling where you have to stay on the red line and get tackled? I think that's what it was, right? One of my least favorite drills.
Yeah. Well,
what was your favorite drill? Did you have one?
We practice tackling every day, and we practice good fundamental tackling techniques every day. We reinforce techniques that are done properly, and we correct the ones that are done improperly, whether that's in this area or it could be in another area relative to the player's feet and leverage and position and so forth. So. That's an important fundamental for us, running and tackling. We work on those every day. We absolutely teach them and correct them, ad nauseum, really, because it's such an important fundamental.
Yeah, I think
we do your drill.
I heard you were just tapping off now.
Yeah, I think everybody is for the safety in the game. Certainly you guys are, because it's your livelihood. But they're calling everything right now, Bill. They didn't call much in your first game. They didn't call anything. But you look around the league, they're calling an awful lot. Are you concerned at all that maybe, and they claim they're using this as a testing period, are you concerned at all that by the time we get to the first game of the regular season, and we're only a few weeks away, that they may not pull back on these things? They're using this as a learning tool, but are you worried that we start this regular season and they're calling a lot of these plays that simply nobody seems to understand the rule?
Yeah, I think we understand it. I think I understand it. Our team looked at probably 25 plays last night. I think all of us could see those plays, why they were called, and the ones that weren't called, why they weren't called. So, again, the officials have a tough job to make that judgment, but I think the rule's fairly clear-cut. If you lead with your hit and you make contact with the opponent, then that's a foul. So.
Why is defensive players getting called? We had a situation last week.
Everybody's, right. Yeah, there's examples where everybody has been called. Blockers, guys defeating blocks, more tacklers, but also some runners. So, again, I think these are, you know, problems and questions that really should go to the NFL officiating department. It doesn't really matter whether I like the rule or don't like the rule, or what I think the rule should or should be, or should or shouldn't be called. That's not my job. My job is to understand the rule and to coach it. And as I said, we're not coaching anything any differently, and I'm not coaching anything any differently than I've ever coached it since I've been in the National Football League. We've never coached head down, top of the head, you know, don't see what the contact is and you know, put yourself in a position where you could have a serious injury and not do your job. So that, again, how it's officiated and so forth, that's not really, that's something that the officials and Al River on the NFL office could talk to you about. I really, that's not my job. I can't answer how hard it is or isn't to officiate. I just know we're coaching, and that's what we coach.
So when you say you looked at plays, are those plays that you guys pulled, or is the league communicating and sending plays saying this is what we plan on calling, what we're not planning on calling?
Yeah, both. Well, they send us what they send us, plays they've called or plays they've missed or whatever the case might be, and examples of it. We have our own plays, mm-hmm. and again, regardless of what they call or don't call, that's a technique that we don't teach and we don't subscribe to, so... whether they call it or don't call it, we don't want to do it because it's, we don't think it works very well. So we're not teaching that. Player does that. We want to instruct him how to do it properly, not only for his safety, but also so that he can fundamentally play, make the block or make the tackle or take on a block or whatever it is that we're talking about, as opposed to these other techniques.
You know, one of the things I was thinking about is just random question is just about, you spent so much time on football and just football. Is there any point in time where you just say, hey, you know what, I'm just kick back and read a book? No. is there downtime, like, have you ever seen an episode of Game of Thrones? Do you have a Netflix account?
No, Linda does, but I don't have one. Yeah.
No, but is,
you know,
is,
I'm not very tech savvy, Kristen, you know that, so yeah. Even getting it on the screen, it would be very challenging.
I think you could get Netflix.
What about just like?
Well, no, you have to, you know, go to a certain thing. You have to have a passcode or some. I mean, you know,
have Linda do it for
you. It's not like you can just flip from channel 53 to channel 108. I can handle that. So,
but this is not like you changing the clock in your car, which I remember a few years ago you had a little difficulty with. You know, this is a little bit different. You know, once you get it, you got it. It's there.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, if I didn't have some help, I don't think I'd be able to get to Netflix, Snapface, and Pandorama, and whatever it is.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that one yet.
So what would
yeah, to answer your question, yeah. I mean, I definitely enjoy kicking back and relaxing. Yeah.
What's the last non-football book you read?
The last non-football book? Well, there have been several of them. One would be Younger Every Year. Read a Paul Brown book this summer. Read a World War II book this summer. So
I just say non-football, non-military.
now you're just pulling
narrowing it down.
Like, have you read 50 Shades of Grey?
I haven't. Oh, look, you're going to name a lot of books I haven't read.
Yeah.
When's the last book
Jack
you've read?
Jack Welch's leadership book.
Yeah.
From the gut, and something like, I don't know, Tips on Winning or something like that, Methods of Winning, whatever it was. So I've read all of Jack's books. So he's a brilliant guy that I've learned a lot from, and has a lot of great ideas and great concepts on leadership and team building and management. So
what does like the few minutes of downtime for Bill Belichick during the season look like? Good meal. It's about it.
First and foremost, it's rest, sleep. We get on the bus, and we get on the bus to go to Carolina, or get on the plane. When those wheels lift off, there'll be a lot of other with eyes closed. You know, that's a great feeling to just be able to sit back and close your eyes when we get on the bus, the plane, or get to the the city that we're playing in, and just relax.
I think everyone's amazed when you talk about you've seen most of the games. You know, you always talk about anything. You put so much time in with this team. You're watching everything. Have you watched Hard Knocks at all? Couple episodes?
No, I missed that.
We always sort of laugh and think, what would Bill be like in Hard Knocks in the Patriots? Obviously, that would probably be something you wouldn't be interested in. The inside look at your team or you.
Well, we've had a couple of those, but not Hard Knocks, but we've had some of the inside stuff. But yeah, I haven't seen that. Maybe I'll probably catch up on that a little bit later here in training camp. But again, right now, in all honesty, I've got a lot on my plate, just trying to coach this team, trying to get us ready to go, trying to get myself ready to go. There's a lot of things I need to address, and we need to do as a team. So that's really our focus now, Lou.
If they ever did come to you and wanted you and your team to be part of Hard Knocks, how would you get out of it? what would your excuse be?
Yeah, I don't know. We'd have to
better come up with one.
Yeah, okay.
May happen one of these years.
Well, you can't just gotta not make the playoffs. That's part of it. Yeah. Last one for me, Coach. The Brett Bielema, you bring him on your staff. I was just curious because here's a guy that had a lot of success at Wisconsin, left Wisconsin, went to Arkansas. You know, paid him a lot of money trying to turn that program around. Didn't have, I guess, as much success as he had at Wisconsin. And then you brought him in to be, I guess, an assistant coach. I'm not really sure what his title is, but he's involved. How does that relationship grow from like a college coach, a head coach, to working here with you? Was that relationship built, I guess, through scouting his players? You know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Brett went to Iowa. Has a great relationship with Coach Ferentz, the Ferentz family, the Iowa group. Had a great relationship with him at Wisconsin for players like James White, and then at Arkansas with players like Trey Flowers and Dietrich Wise and others. I think he's produced a very high quality of individual. Those guys we've taken from those schools that I just mentioned, including Iowa, those are good, hardworking, tough kids that like football, that have done well in this program. I'm not talking about their ability, I'm just talking about as their overall what they bring to the team and so forth. So I think, the type of players that he's recruited at those programs fit well with what we do. And so after his situation at Arkansas, this worked out, and it's worked out well for us, and hopefully it's worked out well for him.
Is that something always in contact with the college game? I mean, I saw that article in January in SI with you and Nick Saban, secret meetings back when you guys were young coaches, but you still contact a lot because you see that college game coming in the NFL. Do you even see it more so recent years?
I have some relationships with people in college football, but I spend a lot of time with the college coaches, talking to college coaches and visiting with them in the spring during the draft process. So, and honestly, that's when I watch a lot of college football, from call it the middle of February till the middle to end of April. 2.5 months of I really don't see much NFL football at that time, maybe a free agent player or something like that. But I'd say 90%, maybe 95% of the film I watch is the college game at that point in time. And so sometimes it's scheme ideas or that type of thing. But most of the time it's trying to evaluate their players or players they've played against and things like that. So and a lot of those coaches, give us insight or give us access to their players or to their films, their cut-ups, and so forth, and that's obviously been very helpful.
All right, we wrap things up with our Mercedes-Benz drive of the week. I know it's only the preseason, but was there a specific drive that you liked this past week?
There was a lot of them. The first one offensively was a good drive, be able to drive down there and get points. First defensive drive was good, create third and long situation, get off the field. The Eagles drive where Claiborne strip sacked Foles, and we got a good score from Bentley. That was a good drive. Mm-hmm. So that was 3-4. Pick a winner.
No, you got them all.
You
got
to pick one. He could pick three. He just picked three.
I'm leaving it. I don't think it's our job to pick it. I think it's his job. Hey, one thing before we let you go. You look at this game this past weekend, it was a lot of the regular guys that Tom Brady was throwing to, not a lot of the newer guys, okay? Is that something you want to see in the next couple of games?
Well, look, there are a lot of things we could do. If we had 8 preseason games, we could see a lot more than we could in 4. But we have 4, and we have to try to do the things that we feel like are best for the development of our football team, individually, collectively. Yeah, we want guys to play together. We want to get guys ready. We also have to evaluate players. So there are a lot of things to take into consideration. It's hard to do them all. Say it's impossible to do them all, so you have to pick out the ones that are most important to you, and there may be some things that you don't get to. So in your example, if we don't get to that in the game, then maybe we create more of those situations and groupings in practice. So it's you want to build your player's stamina and conditioning so that they're out there for an extended period of time, not just a couple of plays and then rest. And that's not the way we play. So to try to keep guys out there over a continuous basis gives you some conditioning and some chemistry and a little bit of just playing together. But the downside of that, like you said, is you don't see different combinations and so forth. Right. So we just try to do the best we can. All of them are important. We try to take all of them into consideration. I would say the ones we don't get in the game, if we can't get them the following game, then we try to balance that off in practice.
And by the way, I don't think we need 8 preseason games, but thank you for bringing that up.
Well, when I came in the league, we had 6.
That's unbelievable. And, would you rather see 2 and add 2 regular season games?
Well, I don't think that's good for the development of young players, so it's just a question of what your priorities are. And can you get a team or a player ready in 2 preseason games? I don't know. I don't know what the injury rate would be on that. I know the injury rate at the start of the regular season is high. It always is. And that's a big jump from preseason to the regular season. I think if you cut that in half, you'd be looking at a bigger jump.
Yeah.
So if this was opening week this week, I don't know. I think it would present some other challenges. But look, that's not really my – it's not my call. It doesn't really make any difference what I think. Somebody else will make that decision, and that's fine.
As you've learned, the NFL always makes their decisions, Bill. Our Drive of the Week brought to you by Boston Area Mercedes-Benz Dealers. We'll catch you next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Lynn.
Bill Belichick.
Ooh, thank you.
Right here on OMF.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, live down here in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium. We threw the coach out, and we brought in Patrick Chung. Good to see you.
Push that button
on the front there.
There you go.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, you're good.
Give us a little freestyle. Good. Just check the mic.
Psych.
So we were just talking before the break, because sometimes the best stuff is off the air, as you know, not the stuff on the air. We were just talking about sleeping on flights and whatever. And Christian was bringing up some flight where you go over to Europe, and what happens?
No, I said you have it's like the international flights where the seats go all the way back. It turns into a bed.
Yeah. And a guy that rubbed his head.
Yeah.
The guy rubbing his head was a little weird.
The flight attendant.
Whatever. It's like a butler. He literally rubs your head, tucks you in like your 4.
Do you have any idea what he's talking about?
No, but you can't hide money. I can see that.
Right? No, see. That's where he goes.
But you guys are flying that new plane.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
The difference with that big new plane now, right?
We don't have beds or any butlers rubbing our heads or anything. I mean, we get burgers.
Big upgrade, though, I bet.
Oh no, it's definitely nice. Yeah, but what he's talking about is another level.
That's like your wife turns 40, give her what she wants type of situation. So yeah, that was me.
How'd you
so,
get the butler though? She should.
What do you mean? Oh, you just put me in coach, and she's sitting in first class.
If you said it's about your girl,
there you go.
So she needs first class. Yeah. Coach, buddy.
How you feeling? Good. Couple games into the column.
Yeah, feels good. Good to get the rust off a little bit.
Yeah, you had they sent you a couple times. I don't know if that was improv on your part or they sent you, but you did an excellent job of knocking Jay Ajayi down. Like he had no chance. He had a couple opportunities, but mostly it's those edge rushers really kind of really helping you guys out.
Yeah, I mean, it's taking a little pressure off of us back there, you know. And I mean, when it comes down to it, we got to cover anyway. But for them getting there, getting to the quarterback, it's definitely helping us. Hopefully, they can keep that going, you know, throughout the season.
Do you like being sent on blitzes? I mean, some guys, like, they just don't like it, you know, because it's a little more challenging. They take some out of coverage, or they almost feel like they're giving themselves up.
No, I like it. I like it. It's a good change up, you know, because I'm always all over the place, so you never really know, you know, what I'm doing, what anyone's doing. So be able to add something to your, you know, resume, it, you know, it's only going to help you a little bit.
Do you ever work out with the defense ends on the whole hand movement, like the whole, like, karate hand thing?
Karate expert,
going on?
Yeah, I don't work out with them, but I ask them all the time, like, when they're hanging out on the sideline. I'm like, hey, so would this move work? Would this move work? He's like, yeah, that would work, but you're too small. Like, hey, that's messed up, man. But every once in a while, I'll ask a couple guys.
You know, Dante Hightower was actually asked about, you know, defense, and obviously he's linebacking coach, so he was, you know, worked with Flores for a long time. But have you noticed anything defensive? He's talking about maybe being simpler and maybe work faster. But I mean, Patricia's great defensive coordinator. But do you notice a difference?
No, man. I mean, he's still doing the same thing, not the same things, obviously, but we're still preaching the same things, you know. No deep balls, tackling, everything, things like that, and just playing fast, being able to just play fast, make things simple, so you can just go out there and play at a high level, and, you know, make plays.
I'm wondering how much the game has changed since you've been around. I hear a lot of people talking about, boy, Patrick Chung's so much better the second time than he was the first time here. But the game has kind of changed. You're kind of that hybrid guy right now. Yeah. Has that been a big part, do you think, of the success that you've had over the last few years coming back here, and that it plays to your skill set?
I mean, yeah, I guess you can say that. But, I mean, I think it'll just come down to just me maturing a little bit for my second time coming here. I'm not going to say this. A scheme is what makes me better, and just working hard and being professional is what made me better. You know, just leaving was a eye-opening experience, you know, and it woke me up a little bit. And then I got injured, didn't get to play, and then I was just sitting around. So it kind of just over time, just being able to mature and just understand, you know, I got to be professional and, you know, not be complacent. And that's what I've continued to try to do.
You know, you've made it when somebody says, hey, that team needs a Patrick Chung type. Have you heard that before?
Nope, but I'll take it.
Yeah, I just invented it.
No.
Chris has been saying it.
Same way he invented the guy that was rubbing somebody's head.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he made that up.
No, but it is a comment. I have heard that because it's I don't know if I'd call you a hybrid. I just think when people see what you're able to accomplish,
and, you're up in the line.
You're covering tight ends, big tight ends, small tight ends, fast tight ends, fat tight ends. You know, we don't discriminate, right, Glenn?
What are you talking about, fat people?
I don't know if it's something you can teach. I mean, either you kind of have it or you don't.
I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, just Bill. I have the mentality, if Bill gives me an assignment, to go do it. You know, even if I can't do it, I'm going to try to do it. You know, and, you know, some guys don't have that, you know, oh, I don't want to do that because I've never done it before. And, you know, and then that's when they don't work hard. If I feel more like I feel privileged. Like, I think you can do this, Pat, do it. And I'm going to try to do it. I think you can do this, Pat, do it. And I just continue just to do that and work hard and just simplify, you know, the defense in my mind so I can, you know, play fast and just do all the things he's asked me to do.
You know, Lane Johnson, I've heard him last week, tried to hype up this preseason game two, you know, and we were kind of downplaying it. But I'm curious on your side, the defensive side of it, was there anything to that other than preseason game two when you looked over and you saw that team and what happened back in February? Was it anything different? It was just a nameless, faceless team.
It's a new season, bro. It's just a game. You know, I mean, you can hype up whatever you want to hype up. You know, it doesn't really matter to us. We're just going to go out there and play every game like, you know, like it's just another team, you know. But it is good to come in, you know, see the team that beat us, whatever. But I mean, that all that in the past, you can try to hype it up all you want to. But you know, when it comes down to it, you know, pads do the talking. So.
So there was no trash talking out there from Philly. They weren't doing.
They were getting
anything.
Their ass kicked.
It wasn't trash talking. They wasn't trying. We're just playing. You know, just playing some ball.
Speaking of pads doing the talking, the helmet's been doing the talking in the first couple of weeks. It seems like so. We're watching it, and I mean, Christian and others, you know, ex-players and everything, looking at it saying, this is even football, man. This is like legit tackles, safe tackles that are being called. Is that just killing you right now to try to stay within what they're calling the rules of this rule?
Yeah, I mean, we can't do anything about it. It's football's football. You know, we don't have the flags. You know, they have the flags. But at the same time, I understand why they're trying to do that, to say, you know, to protect people. So that's, I mean, that's a great reason to have that, you know, but it just sucks sometimes, you know, that we're trying to be physical, not trying to duck our head or anything, but, you know, it's a game of, you know, milliseconds where someone's trying to, you know, protect themselves and then you're trying to protect yourself.
The guys are quick, too. They're moving.
And guys are quick and they're moving, but, I mean, I understand it, but when it comes down to it, we just got to play football and, you know, try to play within the rules to the best of our ability, and, you know, it is what it is.
Does it piss you off that a running back can lead with the crown of the helmet? Did you have to make a tackle on him, and yet you're the one that's going to get called?
I don't think they can. I don't think they can anymore. That's part of the rule. They can't do it, and we can't do it. But, I mean, it is what it is, bro. We're just going to go out here and play ball. I mean, when it comes down to it, just, nah, don't be soft. Put your chest up and hey.
No, but that's it, though.
Exactly.
It's basically, you basically have to be okay. Like, being trucked and being run over used to be like, shame. Nah, you got run over.
You tackle him.
And you're on some. Yeah, that's it, right? Yeah. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. The key is get him down.
Get him on the ground, you know, and just they're trying to make it safety, make it more safe, which I understand. So, you know, it is what it is.
But. All right, Patrick. Great seeing you. We'll see you during the course of the season.
All right,
thank
cool.
you. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, guys.
Patrick Chung joining us live right here on OMF.
A show that really cares.
I feel like you're going to have a freaking heart attack. Not it. I'm bringing him back to life.
Back to more of Glenn, Lou, and Christian on Sports Radio WEEI.
But this is not changing the clock in your car, which I remember a few years ago you had a little difficulty with. You know, this is a little bit different. You know, once you get it, you got it. It's there.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, if I didn't have some help, I don't think I'd be able to get to Netflix, Snapface, and Pandorama, and whatever else it is.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that one yet.
So what would...
So, yeah, to answer your question, yeah. I mean, I definitely enjoy kicking back and relaxing.
Pandorama, that's the new one. But you'll hear that one over and over and over again. He's got that one down. That is the comedy line, you know?
Yeah, I love it.
Come back right there with social media.
So it's Snapface, it's Face...
Pandorama.
Pandorama. Okay. What is there another one?
Instaface.
Instaface. Instaface. Yeah.
Was it My Face?
My Face. Yeah. Yeah. No. That was, you know, I other than a military, I should have been a little bit more specific. No military books. No how-to books and no football books.
I definitely enjoy kicking back and relaxing.
You know what you should have done?
I'm like, other than that, there's got to be...
When you were asking about TV shows, you know, and you did Game of Thrones, you should have thrown out The Housewives. Asked him which Housewives he's into.
Oh, no.
Atlanta?
No.
Which one is he into?
If they were doing a Housewives of Boston, would you let Linda be on it?
That's the question next week.
Yeah.
Next week's question.
Yeah. Is that question?
Okay. This is from, okay, yeah. It can't be for me.
No, I still want to see them pressure into Hard Knocks.
No.
That would be the highest rated Hard Knocks of all time.
There's no way he...
Yeah, but the only way they can do it. The only way they can do it is if they it's like all the only teams that are eligible are teams... First of all, if you make the playoffs, you're not going. That's part of it.
Or if you have a new coach.
So automatically, they're in the playoffs every single year.
Everybody keeps on predicting the demise of the New England Patriots.
Oh, that's right. I think it's this year.
This is the year. They may not win the division this year.
He does. Every once in a while, he probably watches an episode in years past. And it said, that right there, that scene right there is why I will never want to ever do this again. Like, that right there is what we preach we don't want out there in the
public.
Well,
just do the first 2 weeks with the Browns.
All of it.
The Browns are the perfect candidate for Hard Knocks.
Josh Gordon's back.
They're perfect. Look at all the stuff that's going on around them. Mm-hmm. It's just lots of material from the coaches to the assistant coaches
to the players. They're in the middle of it, basically. It's perfect. They got the number one pick in Mayfield. Tyrod Taylor, the veteran, is beautiful.
Yeah, and this week we get...
And Hugh Jackson.
We get Gordon back, plus we also get Bryant. He turned...
Dez in town.
No,
I'm just saying coming to town, at least, see the chaos behind that.
And they passed on him.
If that's not a red flag, then I don't know what is.
I was going to say.
Or is it because Josh Gordon came back? So, I mean, if that's what it is then. So the word must be out. See, it always drives me crazy. So like, not to compare Colin Kaepernick, but... The whole kneeling thing to me is no different than any other guy who's just got issues. Now, say that's not fair, say whatever you want, but teams don't want to deal with it. Now, that could be anything. It could be your mom's irritating. It could be, you know, your cousin. It could be the people you hang out with. It could be your personal internal issues. Whatever it is, not worth it. We don't feel like dealing with it. We just want to play football. That's it. We're going to keep it as clear as possible. So that tells me if the Browns are willing to pass on him,
it's either two things. It's he wants way too much money, or he's not worth the headache.
But are we sure which side passed on who? Meaning, you know,
well, if he passed on them, then they weren't offering him enough money.
Yeah, or maybe you walked in there and talked to Hugh Jackson for 5 minutes and said,
"No, nope. Not at this point. He needs a job." He needs a job. And then Adrian Peterson just signed. You think Adrian Peterson got any sort of bonus? He got nothing.
Nothing.
He's got the veteran minimum.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be probably just a bunch of incentives, you know, playing time and stuff like that. But they didn't give him any cash because they're going to cut his ass before the season starts if you don't like him.
See, I think even with a receiver, it's going to be worse. If he doesn't catch on to a team, it's not like 3-4 games into the season. You know, you can bring him in and he's going to be, you know, right up to speed with your quarterback and your offense. Matter of fact, that's one of the things they're saying in Dallas right now, is that he was not one of those guys.
It depends on the type of team you're talking about. Well. I'm just saying there are some teams that sit there and say, you know, we're going to bring you in. And we don't expect it to look pretty for the first 4 or 5 weeks. But you know what? We plan on playing in January. You know, it's so one of those things where it's like, okay, so it doesn't look good the first 4, 5, 6 weeks. It might take you a while. I'm more concerned with what it looks like week 13, 14, 15 into the postseason. So, you know, if you got a team that is a good football team, that like the New England Patriots, that sit there and say, all right, yeah, so you and Brady aren't going to connect for the first, whatever it is, 6 weeks. You'll get a lot of run here in the first four. And it might be ugly, but in time, where will you be week 15? Because that's what we care about. Now, if you're another team like, you know, Cleveland, for example, or whatever, that's needs everything out of everybody just to make it to a postseason or try to get to 500, it's probably not a good fit.
Kirsten, if he's looking for too much money, then he's a fool right now, or his agent is not giving him good advice. He's not going to get great money with any of these teams. Even if it's a one-year deal, nobody's going to give him big money.
It amazes me, and that's why I keep going back to Kaepernick, because people who don't follow football, like, don't get how football is. Like, once they're done with you, once they've made up their mind, it doesn't matter. Your value just, that's the cliff.
Right.
Your value just drops, and suddenly, you're not worth the time and energy. Like, somebody has to get hurt. It has to be this crazy circumstances. The beneficiary of those crazy circumstances was Vinny Testaverde. That happened to him at least 100 times, I feel like. They kept bringing him back. Like, I played with him. So, I mean, but he had value. He was okay with taking a pay cut. He just wanted to play. And he was lucky. Adrian Peterson, lucky. He was sitting on his couch. Their young tailback, Geis, from LSU, blows out his knee. And they say, uh-oh, we got a problem. Who can we grab? We can say, listen, we're just going to go right and left. You just take the ball and just be you. But he's not... Adrian Peterson isn't close to being the way he used to be.
Well, plus there's baggage there. I'm actually surprised.
I don't think
the baggage
exists like you think it does.
Oh, I do.
He's had two jobs since then. Yeah. He signed with New Orleans. They cut him. They went to Arizona.
Yeah.
So that baggage, I don't know what you want to do about it. It isn't following him like any of these other players. For some reason, him beating his kid was not as bad as somebody beating their wife.
It's amazing.
That's what it is. So Adrian Peterson gets away with it. Ray Rice doesn't.
Yeah, you're right. The fact that two teams took a shot on him, now you call those two teams and you say, okay, listen, the player, we're not sure what he is, but what was that guy? What was he like, you know, in the locker room? So, I mean, they might have had answers. The guy already had two jobs with two other organizations. You talk about that baggage, they might have taken care of that stuff. But the question still remains, is he there? I was reading he needs like 37 yards. To get in the top 10 all-time rushing? Is that what he's there for?
Oh, so he's basically Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith leaves the Dallas Cowboys, goes to Arizona, and breaks all these records.
He gets top 10 or whatever it
might
be.
And he was useless also. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to give you a courtesy carry here, an attaboy carry here. You know, maybe we'll give you a couple first and second down. The reason why they got rid of Adrian Peterson, obviously Mark Ingram and Kamara established themselves, but he was basically that... Which just is weird because he was basically your old school first and second down back.
No, he was bitching that he was not touching the ball.
No, and that's my point because he can't, that's all he can do.
Right.
But at the same time, Gurley, Fournette, all those guys are basically the same thing.
Which, by the way, that's what they're reporting in Dallas over the last couple of days. That's what he was with the Cowboys last year. Dez Bryant was sitting there bitching if they weren't throwing him the football.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe with Cleveland might have looked at it and said, we got some other people here. We've got to make this a better team.
But think about, it's all about, okay, this is all about Dez Bryant. So Dez Bryant, if you don't give him a multi-year deal, why should he stay in line? So he only is out. He's a mercenary.
He wants a one-year deal. He wants to prove that he belongs.
But he wants big money for that 1 year.
He ain't going to get that.
He might get one year with the team. He's not getting big money.
So you need to suck it up, swallow your pride, come in with your hat in your hand, and say, listen, I'll play for nothing.
I don't think he's doing it.
Well, because then you would get a two-year deal. The days of the five-year deal, you know, max contract type of stuff, it's over. You hit your window. It's done.
Well, you were talking about the guy could lose his appeal out there. If he doesn't play for this season, where is he then? At his age, where is he?
They move on.
That's right.
That's it. I'm sorry. Like, we know you're probably still talented. They just say, yeah, you know what? This kid out of Central Michigan who runs a 4.3, and you know what? He doesn't bitch. He does everything we want him to do, and we think he's got a ton of upside, and he's cheap.
It's the NFL. I mean, every year you got to prove you can play. If not, you're out of the game. You're right. I mean, he's gonna sign with somebody for nothing.
He better.
So if him, why wouldn't you go to a great situation? Maybe the Patriots aren't interested in the guy. I have no idea. Maybe the Browns were. I have no idea what these teams are thinking. But if you're him, you got to get in the field, even if it's for nothing, just to prove you can play again next year. Just to play.
Well, and plus, think about it. So you're going unsigned for a reason, right? If in the beginning, if it was all about money, well, then okay, we fixed that. It's not about money anymore. Now you found out this team was interested and they passed, and then this team kicked the tires and they passed, and then you went to the Browns. You went to the Browns, and they said, no, thank you. So either you demanded too much money or they just figured you weren't worth the headache.
All right, coming up next, and it'll be your question next week when we sit down with Bill Belichick. Apparently there's somebody out there, one of the talking heads, who has come up with the whole premise here that Bill Belichick is sabotaging Tom Brady, sabotaging Bob Kraft, and sabotaging the New England Patriots. We'll get to it coming up next. Our Drive of the Week was brought to you by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.